Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In Jesus' Olivet Discourse, he talked about many events that would occur during the Great Tribulation, which will precede his second coming. According to Jesus, this will be a period of time that will be unlike anything seen in all of human history. To learn more, please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13. And follow along as Pastor Ray Viola discusses verses 14 through 27.
Mark 13, verses 14 through 27. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. As I said 2 weeks ago, there are more prophecies of Scripture that speak of the second coming of Jesus Christ than his first coming. And all of human history and all that is going on is leading up to that time when Jesus Christ comes again and sets up his kingdom. And nothing and no one is going to stop that. Amen. And so in the midst of everything that we are currently facing, not only as a nation, but as a planet, it's all leading up to the time when Christ comes again and sets up his kingdom. Now, we left off at verse 14 a couple of weeks ago, and we covered the passage about the abomination of desolation quite in depth. And you can go to our website and watch that study. Now, I do want to mention one thing here this morning that I didn't cover 2 weeks ago. And that is the phrase that we find, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, why is it that I want to bring this particular portion of what Jesus said up? Because there is some disagreement in evangelical circles about when Christ is going to come again. And I think an important part of understanding what Jesus was saying here is to keep in mind a very key individual as far as end times prophecy is the Apostle John. John, we know, died near the end of the first century. And he wrote the Revelation after the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Well, how do we know that? Because history tells us that John was exiled to the island of Patmos at 94 AD. 94 AD is after 70 AD. That's why I passed high school with colors. And so John writes of a temple that will be built after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And in Revelation chapter 12, to know who he is speaking about contextually, he says in verse 6, Revelation 12, 6, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. Now, this afternoon, go home and read Revelation chapter 12. And whenever you see reference to the woman, you will find that it cannot be Mary, as the Catholics say. It cannot be the church, as some people say. The only entity to whom the word woman appears, refers to is Israel, because Israel is a very key part of end times prophecy. And notice with me, beloved, that here in verse 14, Mark's parenthesis is for readers at a future time, not the hearers then present. Now, the same warning that we read here was given prior to 70 AD, and many of the same things happened in 70 AD. But one thing for sure, among many others that we read about in the book of Revelation, did not happen in 70 AD. Okay, ready for this? Jesus Christ did not return in power and glory. How you can miss that is amazing to me. And so Jesus is speaking here of events and things that will be going on planet Earth prior to his second coming. He says in verse 15, now, this did happen. We know from the Jewish historian Josephus that many of these things happened in 70 AD. But what happened in 70 AD was not the end of the age. It wasn't the time when Jesus set up his kingdom. It foreshadowed what Jesus would do. Let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. Matthew adds, neither on the Sabbath day. That's a key. You see, to this day, if you've been to Israel, all transportation comes to a screeching halt on the Sabbath day in Israel. And thus, only to a Jew would the Sabbath pose a problem with regard to fleeing to the wilderness. You see, God is not through with the nation of Israel. God is not through with the Jew. And here in verse 19, then, Jesus declares, "For in those days shall be affliction." The Greek word for affliction means tribulation. In those days, when the Jews are fleeing into the wilderness, in those days when the third temple has been rebuilt, there will be affliction, tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. In other words, Jesus says prior to his second coming, not the rapture of the church. That could happen now. Wouldn't it be great? It's going to be a time unparalleled in the history of this planet. Now again, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that Jesus predicted that a time of unequal distress is going to occur on earth between the time of the third temple being built and the desolation that is going to take place there. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago, the desolation that's going to take place there is that there is going to be a man of sin, the Antichrist, standing in the rebuilt temple claiming to be God. That is not the same as what happened in, I believe, 167 BC when they offered a pig on the altar. God knows that a pig is not a human being. And that pig did not do signs and wonders, as will the Antichrist. The tribulation that Jesus is referring to here is coming soon. The day, the hour, we don't know. But Jesus says when that happens, it's going to be the greatest time of affliction that has ever occurred on the planet since the beginning of creation. And you can find what that tribulation period will be like. Just read the book of Revelation. John given this revelation in chapters 6 through 18. And if you have a good study Bible, all the cross references of that period of time that are spoken of in the Old Testament, it's going to be a time where God's wrath is poured out upon a Christ-rejecting planet. Anti-Semitism is going to be on the rise. It is going to be a time unparalleled in human history. So devastating is this time that Jesus says in verse 20, except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. Now, the word shortened actually means terminated, not decreased in number. In other words, if those days, with all of the awful judgments taking place on the planet, were allowed to continue indefinitely, the human race would destroy itself. So there had to be a time when this planet had the capacity to destroy itself. We're there. There's enough nukes to wipe out this planet. We are a planet that can self-destruct. And Jesus said, had this period of time not been shortened, in other words, if he did not have a specific plan for mankind, we would destroy ourselves. But Satan is the great deceiver. And Satan opposes everything that God deems to be sacred or holy. And right up until the second coming, Satan is going to be offering to mankind a counterfeit. The ultimate counterfeit is going to be the Antichrist. But all throughout the history of the church, there has been, even as early as the days of Jesus on earth and the apostles in the book of Acts, up to this present time, there have always been false teachers, false prophets who claim to be Christ and who do signs and wonders. Jesus said, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now, this word elect is an interesting word in the Bible. Depending on the context, in Isaiah 42:1, it refers to Jesus. In Colossians 3, the church is called the elect. Israel is called the elect. Angels are called elect. So how do you know whom the Lord is referring to? Context. Context. What we're dealing with here is a context that is dealing specifically with Israel, but things that the world is going to have to deal with up to Christ's second coming. False Christ, false prophets. I probably should have spent a little bit of time getting a list of how many people have claimed to be the Christ in my lifetime. How many of them do you know? David Koresh, Sun Young Moon, Jim Jones. How many do you know? How many today are claiming to be the Christ, the Messiah? Jesus said, I told you. I had a young man years ago in that building make an appointment with me, and he came into my office. And he was just a nice fellow talking with me, and then out of nowhere, he told me, actually, he asked me a question. Do you know who you're talking to? And I gave the name that the secretary gave me. And he says, no, I'm Jesus Christ. And I looked at him. And I said, I'm disappointed. I said, I was expecting much, much more. And he got a little irate with me, and I just opened the scriptures, and I said, you know, you're fulfilling Bible prophecy. Now, that got, well, yeah, I am. Look, you're right here. False Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Show me a few. I even said to him, listen, why don't we go down to Hamlin Beach, or what's the lake in Webster? What? Lake Ontario? So let's go down there. Because why? I says, I want to see you take a walk. Well, it was only the grace of God that withheld him. He's getting really angry. And I said, you're deceived. You need to repent. You are not the Christ. You're not the Christ. But false Christs and false prophets have been the bane of humanity, not alone the church. And here Jesus said that some of them would be able to do signs and wonders to seduce. Now, what does it mean to seduce? It means to take advantage of people. You see, not everything that is supernatural is from God. You know that, right? Not every sign and wonder comes from God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaking of the Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice why they perish. Listen carefully for those watching online. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, when someone keeps on rejecting the truth, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, I don't believe he's the fulfillment of Scripture, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to notice, saints, that in this verse, the Holy Spirit uses three words to explain supernatural manifestations of or miracles. Dunamis, Simeon, and Teres. And notice how the miracles mentioned that the Antichrist will do are accomplished how? By the power of God? No, but by the power of Satan. So take note, saints. Miracle working is not necessarily evidence of God's power. In Acts 19, verse 13, there's reference to Jewish exorcists. In the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 22, there's the magicians of Egypt. And people today are being misled and deceived by false signs and false wonders and false healings because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 13, and he, that is the beast out of the earth, does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. These things are going to be happening at some point in time on this planet. And it would compel us to share these things with our loved ones. There are going to be satanic signs and wonders and miracles that will deceive people. People coming and saying that they are the Christ. So deceptive will these miracles be during the tribulation period that it says even if it was possible, and it's not possible, that the elect should be deceived. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
You know, I can remember when my daughter Andrea was a little girl and we were watching Christian television. And there was this guy on TV that was healing people. I mean, he was knocking them over like a professional bowler. Boom, strike one, strike two. And Andrea, cute little Andrea, just says, "Daddy, that guy's not of the Lord. That guy's not of the Lord." You see, miracles are not proof of a divine calling, nor are they necessarily approval of an individual. The final test is the Word of God. Remember last week in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost took place. There were people speaking in tongues. There were other phenomena that would happen, that were happening. And what did Peter say? "This that you see and hear is that which is written in Scripture." He validated the wonders, the miracles, with the Word of God. Strong deception, strong delusion, because people do not want to believe the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And that's why Satan is on a mission to silence the truth of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ from being proclaimed. That's why there is strong opposition against you and me and others that are proclaiming the Word of God.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.